Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them!
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
God's church is one foundation.
Church news. Is any of this good?
From heaven he came and sought us to be his holy bride.
Unfortunately not.
His own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
This is Wretched Radio. Was thrilled to pieces to see that that hymn was actually in Hymns of Grace. Are you familiar with Hymns of Grace? It is the Grace Community Church hymnal. We just got it, and it's got the music, and it's got all of the different hymns in it, and I couldn't help but go, wow, it's kind of like an old Protestant hymnal. It's just loaded with tons of great hymns. Although, Jimmy, this is what I get for being bad at reading music. Pick the hymn for Sunday service.
Uh-huh.
Great hymn. Jesus, I am resting. In the joy of who you are, I am finding out the greatness of your longing heart. And it was the wrong melody. Oops. And it was kind of a hard one too. And I could tell it affected the singing because it wasn't quite that familiar. So other than that, be on the lookout. The Grace Community Church hymnal. It may or may not become your pew hymnal. But if you're looking for music, and they've got it cataloged, so it's super helpful. I don't have it in front of me, but it's got, for instance, praise and worship. It's got God the Father. And then it lists the different theology that you can sing about because our church services should be coherent. In other words, the hymn should have a little something to do with the message du jour, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it have something to do with, say, the confession of faith? Shouldn't it have something to do with the Bible readings? You would be encouraged if you go about the business of making your church service thematic with the theme of the sermon, the message, the point of the sermon, and make all of the elements related to it, you will be shocked that people do notice. People regularly at Alpharetta Bible Church say, I was reading the confession and it's exactly what you were talking about inside of the sermon. And then that hymn was saying the same exactly. They notice it. And what does it do? It reinforces the message. And if you happen to be a church that is thinking about moving away from being, I don't want to say high churchy, because I think that has elements that I think we would all reject, where it just becomes cold and formal and these religious looking people parade around in their vestments. But just a higher church in that it's liturgical. God regulates the elements. He determines what is inside of the worship. And we do it in a way that isn't silly and, hey, church, how you doing this morning? And that just, in my estimation, has no place in a worship service. I think to move in that direction, if you are liturgical, I think you would be making a grave error. And I happen to have the proof for it. Right in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers. Every single mainline Protestant denomination, it is shrinking. This from AP News, which I kind of glazed over. There were a lot of stats in it, but it never really delivered on its premise. Here's the headline. Protestant denominations trying new ideas as they face declines in members and money. Now, they talked about the decline in members and money. I didn't see any of these new ideas, which is what I was intrigued by. The Presbyterian Church USA, they're biting the dust. They're cutting staff at its headquarters. Never a good sign of a healthy church. The United Methodist Church, after undergoing a major schism, has settled into a historically low budget, having cut its numbers of bishops and other positions. Non-denominational churches, on the other hand, they're growing. Southern Baptist Convention. Sad to say it's down now. I think some of it with the Southern Baptist Convention, it's the rules getting cleaned up, which I think was needed, probably still is to an even greater degree. Nevertheless, I suspect that inside the SBC, the churches that are growing are those that aren't silly. They're sober and they're serious. That's what people are craving. We are lame when it comes to competing with the world. We don't look as good in concert as a Taylor Swift. That's the only reference I could think of. We don't have the pyrotechnics of the stadium shows. We don't have the wardrobe that they... Oh, these people, these worship leaders, they'll spend plenty on their wardrobe. Doesn't come close to Hollywood. They don't get the hair, the makeup. We're just knockoffs. And people see it. If there's anything about the younger generation that I think is observable, and you would perhaps say, oh, you're just being stereotypical. The Bible is stereotypical. The Bible actually gives us permission for stereotyping. Jesus denounced the Pharisees. Was every single one of them like that? Well, probably not. But in general, Paul affirmed those Cretans, they're basically lazy. They're bums. And now, was every single Cretan that would? No. But in general, I think we can make statements that basically represent a people group. And the young generation today, they know authentic, they know real, they know trite, they know phony. They know it. They're, for them, phony is intuitive. As electronics, Jimmy, I am the worst at I had a humiliating moment. I think the kid was maybe 20 years old, got the oil changed, and got paid for the oil change. Which, by the way, Jimmy, do you have any extra money? It's I'm gonna pay for that oil change.
It's like $80. Now.
What in the world? So I do the oil change. I go out to my car and I realized, oh. The thing, I've got it. My car's 13, but it's 13 years old, but it's still got a map thing. It's pretty antiquated. You know, it kind of looks like Pong, basically level. But it wouldn't appear on the screen, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I actually went back in to the kid who was sitting at the counter, and I said, "Hey, I don't know if you can help me with this, but I can't get my screen to have the map on it." He goes, "I'll give it a go." Okay. And he called me Mr. Friel. Appreciate that. Had to correct him that it's Mr. Friel. Even so, polite young man. I get in the car, started. He sits in the passenger seat. And I kid you not, the screen, when it went to pop up, it hadn't even fully populated. He pushes the bottom right-hand corner and the map appears. And he immediately goes, "Or you could just push this button, I kid you not, that says maps."
Or you could just read.
I'm a moron. But even so, I don't know that you can appreciate this. I'm not describing it, I think, as quickly as this kid did. As soon as the screen started, it's like he didn't have to read it. He just it's like an accountant reading a spreadsheet. They just, whoop, I see a number there. That's off. Whoop, that's off. They just know how to do that stuff, and they know how to identify phony, and they know how to identify cheap knockoffs, and they're not interested. Doesn't it make sense that you're here because you believe in God, and you look like everybody else? You act like this isn't serious? What kind of a God are you worshiping here? And the answer is an entirely immanent lovey-dovey God, not a transcendent high and holy God who loves this silly deity that is sort of represented in rarely even just, God gets a drive-by treatment. He just barely gets talked about. And it's certainly not in a lofty way. And I think the kids walk in and go, "Silly, trite. Not interested. Can I get out of here?" Why is it that we're losing 60 to 80%? And I'll bet the number is even higher. The kids who go to youth group, but then they run off to university and they're out of here. It's because they finally meet a professor who's serious. Hey, this guy's kind of sober-minded. He seems to be studied. He's not trying to be cool and a hipster. He seems incredible PCUSA, roughly a third of its size from the 1980s. You say, why? Here's a headline from the Christian Post. PCUSA approves amendment banning LGBT discrimination. They're totally woke. And they're totally dying. Because people don't want worldly religion. Now, some people do. They want a religion that just assuages their conscience. And so these people, they'll linger and they'll stay in some of these movements. But I think as a rule, people don't want, they don't want woke. They want something that's different. They want something that's bigger. Here's a headline from Christian Post, different article. Nothing short of sweeping national repentance and spiritual renewal can save America from itself. 60% of Americans do not believe God exists or that he affects lives. That's a terrible trend for our country. And we need to, I'm telling you, we do not want to be lulled into thinking we're doing good for the next 4 years. We got the White House and the House. Well, as we're seeing, it's not quite as easy to change everything on a dime. And it's impossible to change human hearts. Stay conservative, church. Be loving. Be liturgical. And they will come. This is Wretched Radio.
What do you get when you combine 8 of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Crott shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
So you already believe in biblical creation, right? You're convinced that Genesis is true. But let me ask you this. Can you confidently explain why? You know what you believe, but can you tell others why you believe it? When someone challenges you, do you have the answers that silence their skepticism? Well, now you can, because coming up March 21st and 22nd, Dr. Jason Lyle, renowned astrophysicist and biblical apologist, is coming here to Fortis Institute to help you strengthen your foundation. He's going to walk through 10 powerful lectures that will provide the evidence to show exactly how science confirms what Genesis says about creation. Dr. Lyle is going to give practical tools, not just theology, but logical, irrefutable arguments to confidently defend biblical creation. Genesis is true, science confirms it, and now you'll be able to defend it. Reserve your spot if you live in or near Alpharetta, Georgia, at fortisinstitute.org/creation, because believing's great, right? But being equipped to explain why you believe what you believe is even better.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the 4 original doctors of the Church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's experience dreadful together, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. Church news. Let's check in with Bethel.
The Bethel Gathering.
Which, by the way, I think that's one of the trends. It's not a church. It's a gathering. We got to update those words because, you know, anything old is stupid. There was a video that popped up in my YouTube machine. It was about the inventions of people who lived like 2,000-3,000 years ago. And the VO on it said, we aren't even able to duplicate how they accomplished these things because they were brilliant, which I think is a biblical way of understanding the lack of progression of human beings. We're actually regressing, that people used to be smarter than we are. We maybe have more information amassed. We can get it and access it quicker than they could. But they were just plain smarter, just better gray matter. We are devolving. We are not evolving. And it was a reminder of the anachronistic arrogance that the world possesses. You say, what's an anachronistic arrogance? It's a chronological snobbery. Anybody who is dead was dumb. Anybody who didn't live like when I was born, you know, they're just stupid because we're progressing and on the right side of history. Wrong. They were brilliant individuals. And we sometimes, I fear, adopt that same attitude inside of the church, where we don't go back and study our forefathers and what they believed and what they taught. Was just walking down the hall, was walking down the hall, and I was in Libby Glosson's office. If you're not tuning into our podcast, you are missing the boat. It's Intelligent Talk for Women. It is really good. Jimmy, I think this is very safe to say, she's giving the fellas a run for their money.
Yes, she is.
She is just crushing it. And I went into her office. It's called, by the way, it's called The Better Way. You can find it at fortisplus.org. I went into her office and I was trying to show somebody the different biblical counseling books. And I noticed on her bookshelf, she just had a ton of theology books too. And lying right on top was a book written by a Martin Luther, The Bondage of the Will. Have you read it? You say, I'm not Lutheran. You don't need to be Lutheran. You will learn much from The Bondage of the Will. In fact, it will really help you to, I think, have some clarity about who does the saving and who does the choosing and who does the salvific work. Our wills, I know we love to think we got a free will. Our will is in bondage. Our master before Jesus is Satan. We make genuine choices. They're just all the wrong ones. And we can't make spiritual decisions that are good. We need regeneration. We need a granting of that. And you know, you'll get some different, you'll get a flare of Lutheranism in there. Okay, you're not Lutheran. You can glean that. But you'll learn so much. In fact, I get to be at a conference this September. The Cornerstone Conference. Jimmy, we're not supposed to talk about it that I'm aware of now, can we? Are they selling tickets? I don't know. Would you look up the Cornerstone Conference?
Okay.
Because I get to be there. This up-and-comer, this dude, I think he's got real potential. Ken Ham, he's going to be there. H.B. Charles, Tom Askell. It's going to be an awesome conference. And one of the goals of the conference is to go back. How did people who profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ live when times were even tougher? We can learn from them. All of these discussions and debates that we're having now, they have been had multiple times. Let's go back. Because if we think that we've got nothing to glean from those people, then we are guilty of chronological snobbery. We don't need them. Actually, do we need them? No. We need the Bible and the Holy Spirit, but it's nice to have them. Jimmy, you find the Cornerstone Conference yet?
No, I don't think the one that you're looking for. There's one in South Africa, but that's, no. that's
No, it's not. Not flying to South Africa this fall that I'm aware of. It's September 4th and 5th. Look up Cornerstone Conference. It should, WJLU.com. I remembered some calls. WJLU.com. And you should be able to find the conference that will be going on this fall, because we don't want to be chronological snobs. We want to learn. It saves us some pain, shall we say. All right, you got it now?
Yep,
Jimmy?
I do. All right.
What are the deets?
September 5th and 6th. Daytona Beach, Florida. Everybody, you just said is.
I think I've been to I think Daytona Beach is where I debated some national atheist guy. It was at like the Civic Center or something. That was Daytona Beach. Oh, I remember now, because I wanted to go out to the beach to witness. Didn't think about that. Should have pondered that a little longer and thought it through. Oh yeah, the kids are running around like. Pagans. And so we moved off of the beach because, well, it was just wisdom that said, let's just not be exposed to all of this, and stood on the other side of the street from the beach. And I remember this so vividly. There were two girls and a boy, and they were on their way to the beach. And hey, can I talk to you? We were doing radio or TV something. And we started chatting. So who are you? And so the dude is, you know, my name's Bill. Okay. And who is this? What's your name again? And the girls had to repeat their name. Okay. What's the relationship here? What are you guys doing together? Oh, we're just hooking up. I'm sorry. What? Yeah, we're just hooking up. I got a hotel up there. We just came back from there, going to the beach now. And you just admitted it to me, a complete stranger. And I remember looking at that girl and my heart broke for her. And I'm telling you that, dude, I was like, dude, you are a lout. You are a bad man that you are willing to abuse a young lady like this. Oh, I like to think her father didn't know, but frankly, probably did. That's Daytona Beach. So join us, won't you? So where can people, can we get tickets now to that thing already?
Yes, you can.
All right. How do we get them?
WJLU.org/conference.
WJLU.org/conference. Mm-hmm. Okay. So besides Ken and HB, Tom Askell, there are others that are going to be there.
Dr. Stephen Nichols.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Chris Johnson.
And that's awesome lineup. Mm. And we're going to learn from dead guys. The church news actually have some good one. Now, this isn't necessarily a church per se, but we've been seeing all kinds of these stories. I was reading about Jenny Allen. She's the one who's leading all of these revivals on the university campuses. And she claims they did some sort of gathering thing online. 7 million people attended. I'd like to see those analytics. Nevertheless, we see these different revivals that are breaking out. We hope all of them are preaching the gospel. Well, Franklin Graham preaches the gospel. If Franklin Graham does anything, and he does a lot of good work, Samaritan's Purse, that is a very substantial ministry that does a better job than FEMA most times. And he preaches the gospel any chance that he gets. So he was in Ethiopia, 430,000 people attended. That's massive. And that's actually good news. And as long as we're talking about Ethiopia, do you witness when you Uber? Because it's my experience, at least here in Atlanta, if you Uber, you are going to get somebody from Africa. And here's the question that you need to ask them. Ethiopia, is that a Christian or Islamic nation? And you're going, well, wow, you can't ask him that because that's like a religious question. No, that's the way their nations are. They recognize we're this religion or that, or we're split and we try to get along somehow. Usually don't. By the way, did you read about Syria? The thousands of Christians that are getting murdered there? Yeah, that's working out and totally underreported. But if you ask somebody who's from Africa, what type of nation are you? You are in. You're just in the door. Oh, it's a Christian. So are you a Christian? Boom. You want a witness encounter? Uber. That's what I'm, this is a commercial now for Uber. If you would like to evangelize, Uber, because it's a lot easier than going to Ethiopia. Trust me. By the way, you mentioned South Africa, the conference that was going there. South Africa, the unrest that is going there, the racial tensions that are happening in South Africa. Have you been hearing any of the stories? Because I'm hearing that it's getting kind of scary with what's going on there. And it just has everything to do with ethnic issues, which is the big divider of our day. Hey, I just thought of the thing that overcomes ethnic animosity. It's in the Bible. It's called the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A library board in Tennessee stood firm against intimidation this week, voting 5-3 to remove books promoting transgender ideology to children from its system. One of the board members from the Rutherford County Library Board, Cody York, introduced the measure and cut through all of the noise with some clarity, saying, quote, "Books that promote transgender ideology are harmful to children." We're seeing the consequences of that confusion play out in the state of Illinois, where a mother testified that school officials at Shepherd Middle School forced her 13-year-old daughter to change clothes in front of a biological boy who identifies as transgender. The mother told the school board that when her daughter and other girls initially refused to undress with the boy present, administrators supervised the locker room to ensure compliance. The mother cited President Trump's executive order protecting women's spaces, and school officials dismissed her concern based on their inclusive bathroom policy. Meanwhile, a transgender activist at the meeting insisted that girls' privacy concerns weren't valid reasons to limit access to facilities. Oh man, what an example of how quickly inclusion has become coercion. Absolutely shameful. As was the Biden administration's Veteran Affairs Department, who was playing similar games with definitions, according to some newly obtained documents. Despite federal regulations explicitly excluding gender alterations from VA services, the department was providing prosthetic devices, chest binders, hair removal, and voice training, all while planning to expand to full surgeries. VA Secretary Doug Collins ended those practices, announcing that the VA should not be focused on helping veterans attempt to change their sex. And Collins directed that all savings will be redirected to help severely injured veterans, such as paralyzed veterans and amputees. And the media's leftward lurch faced some internal resistance recently as two prominent liberal hosts broke ranks with their own side. Bill Maher shut down former CNN host Don Lemon's racist claims that, quote, "you can't be black and a rational MAGA person," telling him black Trump supporters would find his comments very insulting. Meanwhile, MSNBC host Simone Sanders Townsend dramatically announced on air that she's quitting the Democratic Party, and other Senate Democrats voted with Republicans on a spending bill. Whoopi Goldberg continues spinning conspiracy theories on The View about Trump deporting American citizens, and as we can see, the fracture of the Democratic media machine suggests that Trump derangement syndrome might finally be meeting reality. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735. The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, you of little faith. This is Wretched Radio. Of course I'm going to get back to the Bethel check-in. Did you think that I'd forget that or something?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to the Bethel gathering. Shall we?
Go ahead and stand, church. We're going to receive our offering this morning. We're going to worship the Lord through giving. The scripture that...
Go ahead. Turn me into a feminist organization. I'm sorry. that strikes my ear as shrill. I'm sorry. This is a survey of one. Okay, maybe two. We'll see if we've got unity here. When I hear a woman trying to declare something biblical and lead a congregation, I bristle. I literally just am like, I buck up. Like, this just isn't right. Jimmy, do you get that feeling, or am I the only one who's sexist?
No, you're not the only one.
Okay, good.
Go ahead and stand, church. We're going to receive our offering this morning. We're going to worship the Lord through giving. The scripture that I wanted to release over you was John.
Release.
Yeah.
Over you. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Anyway, John.
On 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
You know why she chose this verse?
Why?
Because it was the only one she had memorized.
Whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, Jesus actually is quoting that about himself. I love that. That is actually Jesus declaring that to Nicodemus. And today we're going to participate in giving because we're just responding to our good father who first gave. Amen. He initiated giving. We didn't initiate giving. He initiated giving. And so we are coming today to give back to God because he first gave us everything.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
Amen, church. So let's repeat offering reading number one. We're going to say this with great faith today.
There's your word faith right there. It just slips in all over the place.
As we end 2024, we are believing that we are going to see debts paid off coming into 2025. Amen. We're going to see businesses increase. We're going to see inflation decrease.
Here's what I want to know because I have
jobs
not...
Jobs and better
stop,
jobs
stop,
increase.
Stop, stop, stop her. I haven't listened to this clip. I think that's pretty obvious. Here's what I'm waiting for. And what does she say? We're praying for increase.
Email Venmo surprises. Are you ready? Okay. Let's say this together, church. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for.
Okay. As we give this offering, we're believing the Lord for sanctification, more power to battle sin, to put to death the deeds of the flesh, to grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Let's see if that declaration gets made.
Jobs and better jobs.
There it is.
Raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income.
Okay, no doubt they do other things at this gathering. But don't tell me that this is not about prosperity preaching at Bethel Church. That is just blatant, flat out, and it tells me where their heart is and what the hook is. I think they have two hooks. You come to Bethel, you'll get rich. You'll get a bonus. Your commission will be higher. But I think there's another aspect that is appealing to people. They want something participatory. They want something sensory. And I think that we shouldn't just dismiss all senses when it comes to worship. I do believe our senses should be fully engaged and activated in a worship service. How we do that and what does that, that's the key to it. But this is all about just getting them whipped into a state, into a fervor with the mood lighting, the repetitious music. And so people dig it. Why? Because people don't want a God who just doesn't make me feel something. I want to feel this. And furthermore, they're greedy. That's what what you're hearing is nothing but sheer greed.
Rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off.
I heard breathing helps calm you down because this is really getting on my nose.
Expenses decrease. Blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, sure.
And promote the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Which you will not hear at this gathering.
Hallelujah!
Jimmy. You've got you can see, is there somebody behind me who just shoved an ice pick into my spine?
Into the back of your head.
Amen. Amen.
There's your update on Bethel Gathering. They haven't changed their stripes at all. And they are still a part of the fastest growing sect of Christianity in the world. Why? Because those two desires that people have, money and sensory experience, it's not an American thing. It's a global thing. And so they go to these countries and they put on the show and it works and the people do come. The problem is, what do they get? They don't get the better. I mean, really, money? That's the best God has to offer? I understand money. We all need it. I get it. It buys stuff like food. That's important. But money? Which literally rots if you bury it in the ground, burns up if you set a match to it, fluctuates in value based on the foreign currency exchange rates or tariffs. By the way, Jimmy, I know whether you are for or against tariffs based on what news network you watch.
Okay.
You watch CNN, MSNBC, you hate them. They're the worst. You watch Fox, they're the most amazing thing that I've ever heard of. Amazing how none of us have studied the subject of tariffs, but we've been able to choose a position. Really? That's as good as it gets? Your best life now is about having money? Or even for that matter, good health. There's nothing bigger about God. He doesn't offer something that's maybe less obvious. He doesn't have anything that's transcendent or eternal. All your God does is give money. You know, there's these vending machine deities that are created in these prosperity churches. They're just so, it's just junk. We've got a better thing. We've got better in Jesus Christ. He offers things that are simply better than money. All people need to do, read the book of Hebrews, and you're going to see it. He's better than the old system. He's better than Melchizedek, who is a pretty powerful dude. He's better than angels. He's better than all things. And when people simply turn him into, well, here's the God that gives you some cash. Well, but you got to give 10% first. Specifically, let me spell the name of our gathering so you can make the check out to us. We accept credit cards and Venmo. They're giving them piffle. I would take this opportunity, Pastor. Respectfully, might I ask, are you showing your people that Jesus is better? That everything that he desires, every command that he gives is better. Every precept, every rule, every teaching and theology, it's better, 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 better. I think this is one of the most helpful tools in battling sin. You can choose sin. There it is. You can choose that if you want to. But what you need to know is that you are choosing the lesser thing. Choosing obedience is better. The lie that causes cloudy thinking is that it feels like this sin thing would be better. Losing my temper right now would feel good. Or looking at that image on the computer, that would feel good. It's a lie. What will feel better is when you do and pursue the better thing. And that is Jesus Christ and obedience. He always wants better for you. Sorry, I think this might be the 11th reference to the sermon on Sunday, but that's The Pharisees, they were choosing the lesser, and it deformed them, and it made them really ugh, people. You would not want to hang with a Pharisee because they would just, their countenance would judge you. As they sit in their seat of superiority because they've got it all figured out and sorted, and you're the lowly pleb, and you don't do things right, and you don't do them as well as they do, and you just feel, you feel judged. That's an ugly person. Jesus doesn't, it's not that Jesus doesn't just want you to not be a Pharisee because he's got another rule. He's got a rule to not be a Pharisee because he's got something better for you. Here's what I've got for you. A yoke that's easy, a burden that is light. So why don't you come unto me? Because everything I offer to you is better. In your battle for sin, remember that. Whatever the sin is, just let truth reign over your feelings. I feel like doing this, but the truth is, if I choose Jesus and what he desires for me, I am doing the better thing and it will ultimately feel better. Pastor, are you proclaiming Jesus as better? Just asking. This is Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this: every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. John was a disciple and close friend of Jesus. John's gospel presents Jesus as the Word become flesh, God in human form. He also emphasizes belief in Christ as the only way, truth, and life. God writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, we may have life in his name. Believe in Jesus today and have life everlasting. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Last call. This is your last call for Dr. Jason Lyle. This is Wretched Radio. If you got nothing going on Friday night and Saturday morning, why don't you come to the Wretched Studios here in Alpharetta, Georgia? It's lovely, although the pollen is here. You got to know, Northerner, if you're going to come for a visit, you snowbird, get ready. The pollen. Whew. So, Jimmy, I'm not sure that I've still got like that cold residue thing or if it's pollen. Have you seen your car?
I haven't noticed it on the cars yet.
We are getting it here. You're a little further north. I don't know what that means, but I'm telling you, we are getting green. Mm. You take a look at your car. The pollen here is just... Whew, I started taking the drugs this morning. What was Zyrtec, Zizol, whatever the things are called.
You never stopped. You just changed the ones you were taking.
no, I did stop for a little bit.
Okay.
You know, you got to change up your drugs a little bit. Yeah. Don't ask me how I know these things. I'm just saying. There's some that work better than others, and you're going to need them if you come to Georgia Friday night, Saturday morning. You can register. It is absolutely... How much are we charging for this thing, Jimmy?
Three easy payments of zero.
We've cut it back to three easy payments of zero.
That's right.
Well, that's an even better deal. It used to be five payments of zero. Please register fortisinstitute.org/creation. It's free. And this is your last call. Speaking of last call, it turns out the DOJ has closed the curtain on their investigation of the SBC. Don't know if you knew that was going on. It cost the SBC $2 million to deal with this investigation of the Department of Justice because there were many accusations of sexual abuse inside of the SBC. And now it has been concluded because the investigation is wrapped up and they're basically saying nothing to see here. Now, are we under the delusion that bad things can happen in churches? We are not under that delusion. In fact, Jimmy, did you see the one locally here? It was one of the churches. They've got one of the groovy contemporary names, you know, that, you know, makes you not sound like a church, which they're probably not. The youth pastor, nasty, nasty kiddie porn. Honestly, I'm telling you, that is just, it's hard to imagine anything more wicked than that. Okay. I'm just going to say it because I'm just increasingly, I don't want to say becoming a fan because that makes it sound like you're gleeful that somebody's going to die. The death penalty really does need to be reconsidered in this country. Can we not agree that producing that stuff, forcing children, coercing, whatever they do to manipulate these kids into a troll, or they just flat out abuse them? And as a pastor, I'm sorry, there are just some acts that disqualify you. I think we're going to be doing a video on the death penalty. I'm sure it's going to rack up, single-digit views. But it was the fellow in South Carolina who was executed. He chose firing squad. And so three individuals shot him to death and ended his life. That, by the way, why three and not just one? The thinking was, this is Old Testament style too, that if the entire village stones the criminal, then one individual doesn't bear the burden. No, nobody knows who threw the rock. And so the entire village stands together and says, we do not accept this behavior. You're wrecking the place. And I think that's a part of the problem, why our attitude toward justice is so low in so many ways in our country, because we can absorb so much. We live in a townhome and there's like 60 townhomes. And if let's just say our little 60 townhomes, there was nobody 5 miles from, just nothing but fields where we grew the crops. And this little community of 60 homes had to take, somebody's got to take care of the horses. Somebody's got to make sure the crops are growing. Somebody's got to make sure that the horses, they get their feet shod. I think that their feet. Horse feet, I think it's horse feet is what you call them. You probably didn't know I grew up on a ranch. Everybody's got to do a something. There's a family economy that would have to take place. This is up until about 100 and some years ago. That's the way that it worked. It was a family economy. And in these little towns, if there was a rotten apple, you felt it. It could jeopardize the whole enterprise, and the death penalty kept that from happening because it would make life literally precarious for everybody. That doesn't happen in the U.S., not yet. But if crime continues to grow, at some point, we will reach a tipping point. At some point, you can't absorb all of it. Right now, we can absorb a lot, and we do. And I think that's why people are just so reticent to think in terms of the death penalty, because we don't realize how bad crime is. And if we can't come together as a culture and say, kiddie porn? Really? You thought that was somehow acceptable. I'm sorry. That is so grotesque, so deformed, so belittles Imago Dei. You forfeited your life. the fellow who got executed in South Carolina, first one, I think, in 15 years. He was professed to be a Christian, and I hope he was. He just had horrible theology. He literally said, there's no place in the New Testament that suggests the death penalty should be enforced, except for Romans 13, sir. That's exactly what the sword is for. What do you think that you commit a crime and the government, as a minister of God, has been given a sword? It's not to give you a manicure. It's to end your life. You need to be aware that the government has the authority to execute. Now, I think that the Bible needs to define what qualifies and what doesn't, but the New Testament certainly does. Furthermore, it's not just in the Mosaic Covenant. It's Genesis chapter 9. We're a culture that has a very, very low view of humanity. And this fellow was arguing, his last letter was, and we Christians got to do away with the death penalty. I honestly think just the opposite. We need to be proponents for it. Do we not cherish these precious little ones, these little lambs? Do we not care about women? Don't we care about these children that are so obviously goofed up in their thinking? It's so clear. And they're so unhappy. And I'm sorry, despite the narrative that says if you don't allow them, they're going to kill themselves, just the opposite turns out to be true. Study after study reveals that these kids who get their bodies mutilated, here's a shocker, they're not happier. They're more miserable and more inclined to take their own lives. Don't we care about them? The death penalty isn't a vengeance issue. It's a compassion issue. And it's also a passion issue. It's a passion for righteousness and for justice. And for goodness, kiddie porn? Oof. Dude's in jail, I understand. But that's just about the end of it. One final church news story. Let's go to Ireland, shall we? A pastor, 76 years old, apparently violated the buffer zone law. Familiar with the buffer zone law? It's this brilliant piece of legislation. In order to protect the women who are getting reproductive health care. You can't be anywhere near them. And you certainly can't hold up signs. That would make them feel bad. And you can't do anything to impede their progress. I would say, all right, so you want to make it a law that you can't block somebody from getting into a place of business. Okay, you can't talk to somebody? This guy, 76-year-old pastor, former president of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland, he was standing on the other side of the road from the abortuary. Absence of placards, any mention of abortion, he preached on John 3:16. And the authorities deemed the service a violation of the buffer zone regulations. It's the abortion services safe access zone. You can't influence individuals accessing abortion services and failing to leave the area when instructed by police. So those were the two charges that were brought against this guy. 76 years old, preaching on John 3:16, never mentions abortion, gets arrested. Ireland, what's going on there, Ireland? What are you doing with the squashing of free speech? Why do I bring that up? Because we need free speech real bad for the propagation of the gospel. We need to be the open-air preachers. We need to be the on-street evangelizers. Why is the church shrinking? Because we're not doing the things we once did. We know Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons will ring doorbells. When was the last time a Baptist church got it? When was the last time a Methodist, Baptist, Luther, any of them have been out there ringing doorbells? Hey, neighbor, wanted to introduce ourselves. Got a religious background? You'd be welcome in our church. Would you know what's going to happen to you when you die? We'd just simply abandon that. And the statistics show it was not a good decision. It was not a wise choice. We need to go to the highways and the byways. And open air preaching is still a powerful tool to accomplish much. Okay, so the kid in San Francisco had a transgender person put a gun to his head. So there are some risks, but that's historically been the case. Ask Jeremiah. He got thrown into a well for open-air preaching and for denouncing the sins of a people. And if Ireland can do this, don't be deceived, America. It could happen here. Let's preach while we can. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.